Mini episode 964 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 964. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you with two of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries. They are gentlemen who do a podcast together every week. Of course, Callous Remarks with Steve Callous and Joe Stazak. And these are both gentlemen that you can also catch on other platforms as well, whether it be Steve Callous making appearances on WFAN in New York or SNY, or Joe Stazak with his regular hosting job over at 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. It is a pleasure to get both of them in, and we're going to be discussing March Madness today, the 2018 NCAA basketball tournament. I guess it won't be March Madness in our official listing for this segment here, lest we get sued. They're a little litigious about that. So, officially, the college basketball championship tournament. Nobody can see me making air quotes right now, but that's what we'll be referring to this as, I guess, for official purposes. So, again, when it comes to anything with potential legal landmines, who would know more about that than the counselor himself, Steve Callous? Steve, good to get you in, my friend. How are you today?
It's great to be with both of you, of course. Looking forward to this.
I am as well, and Joe Stazak, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Good to have you in.
Oh, thank you, boys. Good talking to you again, Steven. How are you, my friend?
Everything good.
Very good to have both of you guys in. We're going to be looking at this region by region. And again, you know, just kind of taking the high spots here. We're not going to go game by game on this in terms of how we see it shaking out. We will start with the South region. And one of the top line bits of analysis that you've been hearing over the course of the time since the brackets were announced, which is about 24 hours since that point in time as we're taping this, is that Virginia got ostensibly a difficult road to the Final Four for a number one seed, especially for a team that was not the lowest of the number one seeds. And you could look and you could see that. Where I would kind of push back a little bit is for people who are picking Kentucky or Arizona to get past them, again, not to be master of the obvious, but that's going to be a brutal game, obviously, for both of those teams. So I think you're going out on a big limb to pick either of those teams to get past Virginia, because you're essentially picking that team to win two tough games. Virginia only has to face the winner of that game. So that makes it a little bit easier. Cincinnati in the regional final might be, again, they'd be a difficult team, but matchup-wise, it would not seem to be a team that would give Virginia a lot of trouble. So I'm probably tipping my hand a little bit here on where I'm going with this region. We'll make our picks here at the end of the show. I'll start with you, Steve. How do you see the South region shaking out?
Well, you can consider me out on a limb, because I just was on with Joe on 97.5 The Fanatic over the weekend. I said I love Virginia, best defense in the country. I think they should be the number one seed. I hate picking favorites, blah, blah, blah. And then I said at the end, the only concern I would have for Virginia is if they had to play Arizona, because Arizona has the best player in the tournament. They have incredible rebounding. If Virginia has a weakness, it's defensive rebounding. So I am going to go out on a limb, and I have Arizona beating Virginia. You're assuming Kentucky's going to get by Davidson. Davidson's kind of a sleeper there, but, you know, Kentucky won the SEC. They're one of those, always a Calipari team, always going, you know, from bottom left to upper right, and this is no different. But they don't have, you know, Anthony Davis. They don't have that superstar freshman that they usually have. So I am picking Arizona to beat Virginia, because I just think their rebounding is too much. Now, I will say this. Jay Billis, of all people, Jay Billis said about DeAndre Ayton, who's the big guy, who's going to be the number one draft pick next, you know, in the NBA draft, and who had a monster season and then a monster Big 12 tournament. And Jay Billis said, and I don't understand this, maybe you guys will explain it to me, he says, I don't know if you can pick a guy and say there's a Danny Manning. you know, Danny Manning and the Miracles. That's the way he said it when Danny Manning, of course, led Kansas to that unlikely championship. But then he said, but you can say there's a Will Chamberlain in the tournament, and it's this guy, DeAndre Ayton. Well, I don't think he's Will Chamberlain. He's got a lot better chance to be Danny Manning, if you ask me. So I just found that to be so bizarre, where he's saying this guy, Jay Bill has said this guy is a quite likely NBA first pick, all-star, Hall of Famer. And then he says he's Will Chamberlain, and then he picks Virginia. So whatever you guys think of that, I'll stop right there. At the bottom of the bracket, I pretty much have the chalk in the South. But I like Arizona, and I like them big time, despite all the Sean Miller stuff, which he, for right now, has, you know, survived. But they're very, very big, and Trier is a big-time player. So that's why I am going out on that limb, Rick, and I'm picking Arizona over Virginia, which Joe will tell you was the only team I thought could beat Virginia.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. And again, you raise the specter here, Arizona, depending on if they can win the whole thing or any of these other teams that are under a cloud of the NCAA eventually proclaiming that the 2018 champion actually was vacant as opposed to a specific school, which a goofy, goofy thing that they do, because the NCAA has tried for years to tell me that I wasn't at an Ohio State-Michigan game in 2010 where Jim Tressel got his ninth win over Michigan. I swear to God I was there, and my dad is my witness. We were there. We were at that game. NCAA, you're not going to gaslight me about that. I see you working on that. So perhaps they'll try that mischief again with this tournament. And if Arizona wins, I think the odds are better than not that good old Vacant is going to claim another title. So on that note, Joe, I don't know exactly where I'm leaving it for you, but how do you see the South shaking out?
Well, I never thought we'd get a podcast with the word gaslighting in it. But first time for everything. And you know what? I'm with them. I like Arizona. I mean, Virginia, listen, their defense is ridiculous. You know, they give up games in the 50s. You know, Rhode Island scored 55, about Tech 52, North Carolina, they held them to 49. You know, I like the way they play. You know, and although Tony Bennett's only been the one to reach eight, I like DeAndre Ayton. I don't think he's Will Chamberlain, but he's super good. On their trial, like you mentioned, 18 and game. They're one of the best brewers in the country, and great for Jackson Cartwright. You know, we have an interesting team here. They don't play great defense. They've given up 8 points or more in 9 games. That's a lot. But I think offensively, you know, when you have the two big guys in Mystic and Eaton, and I don't know if anyone stayed up late this year to watch Slogan Arizona, the kid is a monster. And I also think they're playing with a chip on the shoulder because of all that. You know, the stuff with the NCAA and the scandal, and Sean Miller's now back, you know, playing for your coach and doing all this kind of stuff that we hear about. But, yeah, I like Arizona to come out of there. And the great football would be another sleeper team in that region, although you can't really call 2-seed a sleeper. But, you know, they've been struggling lately. You know, they're 3-6 down the stretch. They usually give Nova a hard time. They didn't open in February. But, you know, again, I think Arizona, it's not that much of an upset. They're 4-seed, but I think they come out south.
Exactly. And again, Arizona, a team that probably underseeded based on their ability. Certainly Kentucky feels that way as well. Calipari has not been shy about voicing his complaints about this. So two teams perhaps that the NCAA was looking to give a tough path to. They're going to face each other, and that is going to be one of the BAFO games of the first weekend, if not the biggest one. Again, you know, you're smart to point out, Steve, again, Kentucky does have to get past Davidson. That's kind of a hipster pick out there that some people are making, because Kentucky every year is pretty inexperienced. Davidson is your prototypical small school team, junior and senior laden, so they have experience. For a situation like this, if it's a close game, you could possibly see that swinging the way a little bit. As we go to the West region, and I'll start with you this time, Joe, in looking at this again, as you would expect with Xavier, who I believe is the fourth of the four number one seeds, they do have a path in front of them that is extraordinarily challenging, whether it be another mid-major in their way in terms of Gonzaga, who I happen to think is going to be there. Although, again, you certainly couldn't rule out some of the other teams in that way there. It's been a miracle year for Ohio State thus far, but I got to say, I think it ends here, and I'm actually going to go on record and pick the 5-12 upset. But Gonzaga is probably going to be in Xavier's way on the bottom part of the bracket. Houston-Michigan could be a very interesting first game here, first weekend game. But Michigan and North Carolina are my picks on the bottom part of the bracket here. So I'm looking pretty chalky as far as it goes in terms of looking at this. I think North Carolina's got a good chance of coming out of this because of the upside that they have when they really, really have it going here. And they've been very, very battle-tested in what looks to be almost a historically tough ACC this year. So how do you see the West materializing, Joe?
Well, in terms of UNC, it would be their fixture title game. I don't think it's one of the great UNC teams, although they turned around a 10-point home loss a couple weeks ago to Duke into a win in the ACC tournament, which, again, throw out the record when those two teams, get it on. I agree with what you said about Ohio State. They've been a top 25 team all year. Big man might be a potential first-round pick. No bad losses for them this year. You mentioned Houston. See, out of this bracket, they'd be my sleeper team. They really would. I mean, they beat Arkansas by 26. They beat Providence by double digits, Wichita State by 14. I mean, they're Rob Gray. They are a dangerous team, in my opinion, although I do think Michigan, I'm going to pick Michigan to come out of this bracket to beat Purdue for the Big Ten title. Steve knows I'm a big Purdue guy, at least in this tournament. They swept Michigan State in the two meetings this year. How I think it'll be important in the sport. They have Xavier Simpson at the post. I think they're a legitimate final. Enough's going away. I think they're a legitimate Final Four contender. And if you want to talk about Xavier, okay, they're the team this year. Kevon Blewett's 19 points this year and 5 rebounds. They lost to Nova by a combined 40 points in 2 games. I don't think they're
Michigan again, yeah, based on if they play their best game, and again, we're going to say that about a lot of teams here, and I guess that's kind of obvious. You're making that point about them and what they've done at their best. I'm making that point about North Carolina. And yeah, I suppose it is for a lot of teams what version we're going to get of them. A lot of that is going to be matchup specific. I think Michigan has it in them to make a very strong run. I agree with you there. It will be very interesting to see with the Big Ten's experiment of playing the tournament at MSG a week early. Michigan and everybody else is sitting there with about a week and a half off, which is uncharted territory for a major conference at this point. Minor conferences have that happen all the time, but they're usually the fodder that goes out in the first round or the second round anyways. For a major conference, this will be very illuminating, and if the Big Ten underperforms expectations here, we may not see a repeat of this anytime soon. So, Steve, what are your thoughts on the West region?
Yeah, well, apparently they were desperate to play in New York, and you can do whatever you want with that, but that seems to me to be out of the ordinary to wait that long. But I've been on the Michigan bandwagon for a long time. I'll just give you a quick funny story. My daughter went to Williams College, and I was up there visiting her once, and we went to a D3 Williams College basketball game, and I was watching these guys warm up, and I saw a 6'8 kid hit 10 threes in a row like they were 10 layups. Turned out it was Duncan Robinson, who became the first guy in the history of D3 to leave D3, transfer to a D1 school on a full scholarship. And this guy's, an incredible three-point shooter and is just one cog in the excellent team that is Michigan. Having said that, I'm going to go with the experience, and I don't mean North Carolina, I mean Gonzaga, because Gonzaga has two starters and their two top subs from last year who, as you know, went to the title game, lost to North Carolina. I think North Carolina is good and can make a run, but they're not the normally almost dominant North Carolina team. So I went with the chalk, but I have Gonzaga beating Michigan to get out of West. And the one upset I'll give you, because maybe I should have said it before in the South, but the one upset I'll give you, I got like one or two in each region. I'm going to go Providence as a 10 to beat Texas A&M. And I'll go back, Joe won't want to hear this, but in the South, I picked Loyola of Chicago to beat Miami, because I think they're a real good team. I actually saw them play late one night. They can shoot the three. But I've got like one or two upsets. But out of the West, I think it's Gonzaga based on their experience. I love Michigan because they did beat Michigan State twice, and that is a big deal. It's not just two top teams playing each other, but everybody knows about the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry forever. I also think Beilein's an excellent coach, and but I think Gonzaga, Mark Few, I think they get back to the Final Four. Well, then I think Xavier is the worst number one by far. I'm surprised. I didn't think they'd be a one myself. And also going back to what you said, Rick, for some reason Virginia, I thought, got the shaft. You know, Calipari could complain because he always does, but to put Kentucky and Arizona there, and one of them's probably going to play Virginia, I mean, that is a tough road. So, yeah, I've got Gonzaga coming out of the West, but certainly Michigan can be there as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I join you in picking the Loyola-Chicago upset as well from the South region. I think that is going to materialize also. We flip over to the other side of the bracket here in the East region, and this is one where, again, we have, as Joe will be happy that I note, our champion from 2 years ago, Villanova, in there as the number one seed, City of Champions, as it were, and they have a path that, again, is going to have a couple of obstacles in its path. West Virginia can be a very infuriating team to play. Texas Tech is sort of a variation of that as well, if they end up catching them in both games, which I think they're going to. The bottom part of the bracket here, very interesting, because, again, there are those who would see Purdue as having a nice path to at least the Elite Eight here, if not the just the Sweet 16. I'll say Sweet 16. I do kind of like Texas Tech in a matchup over Purdue. And again, in the final here, I would like Villanova getting through. I think that they can do that. But a very interesting round two game potentially. West Virginia, Wichita State, if it comes to that, a 4-5. So that could be something that's very fascinating, as well as the in-state battle of Butler and Purdue. You could very well get that, and I think we will the first weekend. So in looking at this, Steve, I'm going to stay with you. Your thoughts on how the East is going to shake out?
Well, I think it's, I won't say easy path, because none of these paths are easy, but I think it's a relatively easy path for Villanova to get all the way through. Yeah, I think they have to play West Virginia, and West Virginia always has Huggins, and they can always defend, but they never quite really get over the hump. I think they beat Wichita State. The one upset I have, which sounds like you have as well, Rick, is Butler beating Arkansas in the 10-7 game. But I do have Villanova and Purdue making it, with Villanova coming out of the East. I do think, again, of the four, if you're looking at number one seeds of the four, I think Villanova has the easiest trip to get to the Final Four. And again, I'm putting easiest in quotes. Obviously, they'll have some tough games. But, you know, Brunson's unbelievable. They have an unbelievable team. They have championship-winning players who were actually on that team, especially, you know, a guy like Brunson, even this Mikal Bridges. You know, they have two players up for the Wooden Award. I don't know if that ever happens. Not in my memory. Maybe it does. But to have two guys up for the Wooden Award is really incredible. So I like them to go all the way through in the East.
Yeah, I do too. And yeah, I think that's a very good catch on your part, by the way, when I said Butler and Purdue. Yes, I would be picking the upset to see that happen, no question about it. And for you, Joe, in looking at the East, I guess it's a question primarily of, is this going to play out, do you think, the way you want it to?
Well, I'm going to sound like home cooking, but I do like the team this year. They have four players, potential NBAers, you know, Mike Spellman, and like you said, Steve, Bill Bridges, Jalen Brunson, you know, the Italian kid, Dante DiVincenzo. Well, we struggled against Providence, but and what I really like about them is still Moose is back healthy, and he was one of the stars in that championship game 2 years ago. So they're all experienced. Bridges played a good game that a couple years ago, Brunson as well. I know he played a lot behind Ryan Auchincloss. They've been in the top 10 team for 48 straight weeks. This is their fourth straight season with 30 wins or more. My problem is that they're usually feast or famine in the in these tournaments. I mean, last year they didn't play well in round one, and then they lost to Wisconsin. They blew a 7-point lead with 5 minutes left. They didn't seem like, you know, themselves like they were. They didn't run on that mission. I think they're back to being focused and on mission again. And I think the other team that I think will stand in the last, I think this is really I could see some upsets. I like Florida over Texas Tech to get to the Sweet 16. But I think Purdue is the other team that I think could give them some real problems. They could give anyone some real problems. They're long, they're athletic, the second best, the reported point shooting team in the country, which can work both ways. If you go cold, you know, one night all needs is, you know, one night to go cold and you're out. That's the way this tournament works. But they have four seniors, and I love seniors in these tournaments. Four out of five seniors on the starters, one sophomore. Problem is they are in the 200s in offensive rebounding and creating turnovers and opponent three-pointers. Nova's a pretty good shooting team for three. But again, I like Nova. They're deep down on a lot of teams this year, 30-4. And, you know, most of the games weren't even close. They were, you know, they got affected by Providence, and they came through. You know, they blew a big lead, and, you know, Providence, God bless them, Providence played, you know, very well in that whole tournament, but Nova took them to overtime, and then, you know, won, and I believe covered as well, which is, you bet Providence, you're out of your mind in that game. But, so I like Nova to go all the way to the Final Four, and then we'll see.
Yeah, and I think, again, the path that they have, I'm going to concur with you guys. I think it really kind of fits into that narrative that they can make it back in there and make a strong run and recover from the disappointment of last year, which is a pretty good segue, actually, to talking about the Midwest and the number one seed Kansas, a team that a lot of times really kind of inexplicably they get into trouble. You know, they just early on, it's always, I mean, if I had a nickel for every time the first weekend, I had them going a decent length and they go out. So maybe it's a good sign for them this year that, I mean, I look at them and I'm really kind of underwhelmed by them. But the path that I see, they may have a fairly clear path to at least the Elite Eight. I'm gonna make another one of these hipster upset picks. I'm going to say New Mexico State, not merely in the first round, but to the Sweet 16, which, again, is just going to make for a better path for Kansas. I think the real action is on the bottom half of this bracket. Oklahoma is a team that people are going to be paying a lot of attention to because with Young, they're basically a puncher's chance in almost any game, I think you'd have to say, although we've also seen what happens in those games when that's not enough. And there have been enough games where that hasn't been enough that they almost missed the tournament. Some would say should have missed the tournament based on being deserving. But Duke and Michigan State, the game that is looming here in the Sweet 16 round, it doesn't seem like there's anything that can happen to prevent that matchup from occurring. TCU might say otherwise, but that appears to be destiny right there. And for a lot of people, it seems to come down to who they think is going to win that game. That's who they think is going to make it to the Final Four. And indeed, in that case, it's me. I think it's a coin flip. And again, we're talking about if teams come out and play their best game, if both of these teams are really clicking, we could be looking at like a triple overtime classic for the ages, because you're talking about two real, real, real heavyweights if they're both on their game, which they haven't been at all times during the year. So injuries have had something to do with that for both teams. I'm going to say Michigan State to come out of that game, to get past Kansas, to make it to the Final Four. Joe, how do you see it shaking out?
Joe, I'm with you. I'm with you, Rick. Duke's always there. They're always in the mix. You know, they have Grayson Allen. Seems like he's had like 8 years of eligibility. I don't know when he's going to graduate, but he's been there forever. I like he did. As a freshman coming off the bench against Wisconsin, he's had some issues along the way. He's unstoppable right now. Mark Bagley, what else can we say about him? Behind DeAndre, you know, he's arguably the best player in the country. And then they got turned around a little bit, beating North Carolina a couple weeks ago, lost to North Carolina the other day. But they're always in the mix. Number two, I like Michigan State. You know, Miles Bridges, probably a lottery pick. It's almost 40% from three. Janice Jackson, you know, in the Zoom range, also Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten. And the team is, you know, defensively the best team in the country defending the three. And, you know, I like the way they play. They play fast. They've got, you know, doing the lottery pick. And Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten. And Kansas, although it's worth, I'll reiterate, you know, some of the things you said, they always seem to take a bath at some point. They just do. I know they won in 2008. They beat a three by Mario Chalmers. You know, Derrick Rose was spitting up free throws. But, they do get a championship. But, you know, there's a couple things that are, you know, set in life, set back in that Kansas is going to blow some games somewhere along the way. I know they're pulling North for big. Devontae Graham is playing ball so far this year, but they're not a great defensive team. 10 second to Big 12 title, there's nothing to speed up. But again, they're Kansas, and they're number 1 seed again. Fine, doesn't mean much to me. I like the state coming out.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, an excellent point on Grayson Allen, because Duke just specializes in guys that are there seemingly forever, at least in terms of feel. Like when I started hearing about this coaching job that Steve Wojciechowski might be able to move up to, I was like, isn't he still playing at Duke? I could have sworn I just saw him running around with his goofy haircut last weekend. You know, I guess I don't pay close enough attention here, but I guess he's had 2 or 3 coaching jobs since leaving there, so... Shows how much I pay attention to college hoops the rest of the year, I suppose. Guilty as charged. But just like most people, as I've said on the show previously, this is when we all sort of get looped into it. So as we look at the Midwest, Steve, are you going to make it 3 for 3 on going for Michigan State?
I am going to make it 3 for 3. I don't have a whole lot to add to what you guys said. I will say Grayson Allen is probably the most hated college basketball player in America. He was far and away number 1 last year, and I think he has repeated this year. But, yeah, I'm not a Bill Self guy. I'm amazed they won 1. And Kansas is that kind of team. Plus, you know, that Azubuike, he's still hurt. He's wearing a brace. I don't know where he comes out for the tournament. I do have a few upsets in this. I have New Mexico State beating Clemson. You guys may laugh or love this one, but I not only have Syracuse beating Arizona State, but I have them beating TCU as well.
Okay.
And you know, I don't know, Rick, if we're going to spend any time on teams that didn't get in, but I will say this. Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma twice and beat Kansas twice and couldn't get in. There's something basically wrong with that. I got a few others, but I just, you're right. Trey Young can go for 40. I still like Rhode Island in that game. But I like Michigan State beat Duke to get to the Final Four. And Michigan State, don't forget, they're 29-4, and that includes those 2 losses to Michigan, which elevated Michigan a lot in my eyes, but didn't really lower Michigan State in my eyes. So, yeah, I have Michigan State coming out of the Midwest, as do you guys, with a few more upsets. Even North Carolina State, you know, it's an 8-9 game, but I have North Carolina State beating Seton Hall because they beat Arizona, Duke, and Kansas. I know they had some bad losses, but that's a heck of a resume.
It is. And I have to say, Steve, just in terms of observing basic broadcast ethics, I need to prompt you. You didn't preface your Oklahoma State more deserving than Oklahoma thing with the preceding commercial announcement brought to you by T. Boone Pickens. You forgot to say that, Steve.
No, I'm sorry. No, I thought that was just, look, I'm sure you guys, I got a list, you know, and I'm sure we can bat around 5 or 6 teams. But just the straight up, Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma in the tournament. They had beaten them before. But again, they beat Kansas twice. So if you buy into Kansas as a number 1 seed, you know, it was just unfathomable to me. Now, Trey Young lit it up. Actually, Dan Dockage on ESPN now, he said, the only reason they got in is because Trey Young was the most talked about college basketball player in the first 2 months. And he's right, and I totally agree with that. I don't care what these guys say. They look at the body of work. They look at this. They look at that. If my team beats your team twice and beats one of the top 4 teams in the country twice, they have to be in my opinion.
What's very interesting is that Trae Young is a guy who LeBron James has not been shy about letting the Cleveland media know he wouldn't mind playing with next year. And oh, by the way, what team happens to have the Nets pick? So very interesting there, and very hopeful from the perspective of a Cavs pick that there's anybody that's catching his eye to that degree. As far as it goes with Duke, I just have to say also, too, like most of the rest of America, I root against them relentlessly, like good people everywhere. But it's been an unusual thing for me this year. The son of the greatest legend at my alma mater, Gary Trent Jr., Shaq of the Mac Jr., playing for Duke. So it's been an unusual thing for me to have to root for any one player for Duke. I don't think that's ever happened before. And until there's a Gary Trent III, that will probably never happen again. But as we go to the Final Four here again, just to recap on this. I think I gave broad hints on some of my picks, was outright on what I said with some of the others of them, but I have Virginia coming out the south, North Carolina coming out the west, Villanova in the east, and Michigan State in the Midwest. So in the national semifinals, we will have yet another ACC rematch here between Virginia and North Carolina. Interesting to see what happens as they meet up yet again. I will look for the same result that we saw ever so recently, with Virginia advancing to the national championship game. Villanova, Michigan State, again, that could be a classic for the ages. But I'm going to say Nova in that one. In the battle of the V's in the championship here, I'm going to say Villanova over Virginia in what should be a very interesting national championship game. Virginia, at least somewhat kind of getting the monkey off their backs as far as how deep that can they go in the tournament. They're not a team at this point that has to win it all to kind of shake that label, but they got to make a deeper run than they've made in the last couple of years. And I think they, much like Gonzaga of a year ago, will prove that they can at least get to the championship game, and that will be progress for their program. That's what I think is going to happen. Steve, I'll start with you.
Well, my Final Four, South and West, Arizona and Gonzaga. You know, I have to say, when I said to Joe on the radio in Philly, love Virginia to go all the way, unless Arizona's in there. When I saw Arizona was, I immediately said, oh, man, Villanova's going to win the whole thing. But if I'm jumping on the Arizona bandwagon that early to beat Virginia, I'm going to stick with Arizona to beat Gonzaga, get to the championship game. I like Villanova and Michigan State on the other side, and I like Michigan State to beat Villanova. I think Izzo and that team is always, you know, they're just tough kids from Flint, Michigan, usually. They're just a tougher brand of basketball. Although, again, Villanova has two guys for the Wooden Award, so they certainly can win. So I have Arizona and Michigan State in the final, and I have Arizona winning 74-68. And I think you might have been one of the first people to predict, Rick, that that title might be vacated. And look, Michigan State has had their own issues this year as well. So it could be a nobody's in the final, at least the final I've picked.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was CBS or TNT or whoever's televising that championship game, I would keep like a graphic of the Grim Reaper in the upper right of the broadcast screen at all times, because that's who's coming for that title if those are the teams playing for it. I hate to tell everybody.
Well, you know, Rick, I think it's interesting because and I don't know if Joe heard this, he'll be happy to hear this maybe, but right now in Vegas, Villanova is the favorite to win the whole thing, which I found a little surprising. But they are the favorite, so, you know, maybe Jay Wright is cleaner than the other guys. I don't really know, but it's almost like if you look far enough, you can find something against virtually all of these top teams, and that can't be a shock given what college basketball has been and, frankly, is now.
For me, in my calculation of it, if you want to make, like, a mathematical equation, I would say success thus far times path to the Final Four. That's kind of what I would look at, and that's why I come out with Villanova, because they're not going to get tested, I think, as badly as early as some of these other teams are going to. And they and Virginia, I think the consensus holds up. They've been the best teams all year, and there's been a little bit of question in the case of Virginia in terms of how they play as to how legitimate that's going to be when March rolls around, how much is it going to shake out. You don't have those questions about Villanova, that even though a lot would tell you that Virginia's been the best team this year, Villanova's been right on their heels. As I say, don't have the questions in terms of style of play and whether it could be sustainable. As a matter of fact, they won it all 2 years ago, so there are no such questions. And again, have a pretty good path to get out of their region. So, Joe, how do you see it shaking out? Are you going with my optimistic scenario for your program?
Yeah, I do. Because, again, you know, the Feast of Famine, the Mid-Final Four runs just outside North Carolina, whacked the semifinal, won the whole thing a couple years ago. They bounced by Wisconsin. They have a history of, I know Jay Wright, you know, probably the greatest coach in Villanova history, but he does have a history of getting out to the early stream with his predecessor, Steve Lapis. But I do like them, like I mentioned, to make it to the Final Four. I went back and forth on this, and I had Rhode Island. It's going to be the end of the Final Four. like Rhode Island, they had a 16-game winning streak. They have a Hurley as one of their head coaches. They force a lot of turnovers, and, you know, it's kind of just going with feel. But I do have Michigan State coming out, a battle of the bridges. I like Villanova. They have three juniors who played a lot as freshmen in a title game. You know, they can do it. Again, it's the Nick Foles factor. You know, you know he can do it. It's not like, you know, we don't know if what this has done it. So I like them coming out of that bracket and playing in the title game. I have Arizona, Stephen Wick, I have Arizona. I got Michigan. I like Arizona. I like the Bigs. They have enough to get past the Wolverines. And in the title game, Nova's not really good. They play fast. They have Duke guard play, which wins in the tournament. They got past a very tall Carolina team a couple of years ago. Great job coaching by Jay Wright, not letting them get the ball inside. Same thing with Perry Ellis in the Kansas game, because, you know, 2 games prior. They put the ball pressure on. They play very good defense. They have Jalen Brunson and Mikael Bridges, you know, balling out. With a little bit of hesitancy, I'm going with my alma mater. It's a lot of biased pick. There's a biased pick.
Well, they've had a great year, and they proved 2 years ago that this program can win, so I don't think anybody should be giving you the stink eye for that one, Joe.
Hey, Rick, I do have one stat that you'd find interesting as the guy who picked Virginia to go to the Final Four, and credit to ESPN, they had the stat, but Virginia was unranked before the season started, and in the history of the NCAA tournament, there have been 3 teams who were unranked who made it to the Final Four. One was the Larry Bird Indiana State team. Wow. So they came in second, obviously, to Magic. One was the Pat Riley Kentucky team, who lost to, it's not UTEP, it was Texas Western back then. You'll recall the first team ever to start 5 black guys. I think 3 of them were from the Bronx, of course.
Yeah.
But I'll also point out that that was the year when freshmen couldn't play and Lou Alcindor Kareem was a freshman. So that was an interesting year, but Kentucky did make the final as an unranked team at the beginning of the year. And the third one was a couple of years before that when UCLA won their first title with John Wooden, where Walt Hazard was the star of that team, and they won it all. So you had three teams that have done what Virginia is trying to do. 2 of them got beaten in the final game, and the third won it all. So that, if you believe in those kinds of stats, I just found the whole thing to be like a fascinating stat. But that bodes well for Virginia if you're looking at it from that perspective.
You know what's the most amazing thing is that that's a stat where 2 of the 3 teams, one is an Adolph Rupp coached Kentucky team, one is a John Wooden coached UCLA team. What are the odds of that? That's one of the great pieces of bar trivia ever, I think.
Yep.
That is amazing. Well, kudos to you for that little nugget, Steve Callis. And as always, thank you for being on with us tonight. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Fun to do it with you two guys.
Really appreciate it as well. And again, Joe, thank you so much for being on too, buddy. Good luck to Nova. You and I are picking them to go all the way. I certainly hope I'm right.
I certainly hope you're right too, Rick. And, you know, always a fun time with Steve and you. Appreciate, you know, you having me on and us together. A good time. Can't wait to get it going on Thursday.
Absolutely. Can't wait for this thing to tip off. It is going to be magical. And in the meantime, it's been magical breaking down the March Madness, the 2018 NCAA Basketball Championship with these guys. Thank you, as always, for joining us here in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.